How's it going, Real Talk fam? I just wanted to jump in here real quick before we start this new episode of Real Talk University with an offer that Christian and I have put together for you guys. Basically, as a thank you for listening and tuning in to all of our episodes and supporting us along the way so far. So what we put together is the Podcast Blueprint ebook, which you'll have access to for free. Absolutely free. This is a downloadable PDF containing all the information, actionable steps, tips, resources, everything you need to launch your very own successful podcast in 30 days or less, exactly how Christian and I have done so. After reading our ebook, you'll be able to launch your own podcast today, book your dream guest for your interviews, and get ads and sponsors immediately. To claim your free copy today, visit the link at bit.ly/RTU ebook. That's bit.ly/RTU ebook. EBOOK. Get your free copy today before this offer expires.
So what is up, Jim? I'm Christian, as you know, and that's Andre, and this is Real Talk University. We seek to influence and inform college-based audiences on how to become successful outside of the classroom and monetize their passions in their own ways, such as entrepreneurship and things like that. So we're here with Jim Dutcher, founder of Agsite, correct?
That is correct. CEO, general manager, Excite Farms.
Awesome. So we'll just get right into it.
Sweet. So the way we start off a lot of our podcasts is with a simple game. Two truths and a lie. So if you could just give us three statements and we'll try to pick out the lie.
Okay. All right. So let's see. My very first concert was seeing Elvis. I am 45 years old and I won a Macarena contest on a cruise ship.
I'm going to say your first concert wasn't Elvis.
Andre?
I'd say the last one. Because it seemed very specific.
Okay. The fib is I'm not 45.
Really? Yeah. So we both hit it wrong.
Yeah. I actually
good start.
Saw Elvis here in Binghamton.
Oh, really?
It's one of his last concerts he performed. I was like in fourth grade. My mom and sister brought me along to see him. So very cool.
Yeah, my grandpa went to that concert. He said it was kind of sad, though, because that was like on the decline of his career.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. So we're going to obviously get more into your actual story and what you've been working on recently. So for the audience that might not know who you are or what you're working on now, if you could just give like basically your pitch to them of who you are and what you're doing.
Okay. So we are Excite Farms. And what we do, we grow affordable flow, FLOH, fresh, local, organic, healthy produce. We do so in indoor year-round vertical farms. We are not hydroponic. We are soil-based. So we have a very far superior quality product, taste, nutrient density. And again, our goal is to make organic produce affordable across the board for everyone.
Awesome. So if we could just backtrack to where you got the idea for this and like what you were doing before you actually jumped into starting this startup, that is.
Okay. Well, my background is IT. 30 years in IT, current role as Chief Information Officer. And part of my background, I was in higher education at a SUNY State University of New York campus, SUNY Cobleskill. And while there, I had the opportunity to help in the design and construction of a new science building, $40 million science building. Contiguous with that, a new greenhouse range. After that effort, was hooked on the indoor growing, enrolled myself in the college's various academic and training certification programs in ag, and been hooked ever since. And have a unique way of growing indoors, conventional greenhouse, hydroponics, very chemically intensive. And although possibly good for those crops, not really healthy for you and I. So wanted to do something more novel, unique, and wanted certainly to be organic, soil-based, and hooked up with a partner company called 2445 Organics, and we submitted a proposal to a Broome County, New York incubator in a K-12 district in Union Endicott, the Tiger Ventures High School. This was 2017. They accepted our proposal, and we are now in a 600 square foot regular size classroom. We grow the equivalent of 5 seasonal acres. That equates to about 20, 25, 26-ish thousand pounds of food product per year. So we've proven two things in being in that startup space. One, our growing methods work. They do. Two, we have the current good headache of not being able to fulfill demand for our organic produce. And we are looking to take the next steps to grow 100x in 2019.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing that growth and actually helping you to document all that. So I just want to ask more, getting into your story and your side of things. Like, has there ever been a point in time where you realized personally that you were an entrepreneur? Or did it kind of just take you going through this venture to realize, like, those kind of aspects of your personality?
Oh, wow. I think it's always been in the blood, so to speak. So growing up, I've always been hustling in terms of making money for myself. So started out very young, delivering newspapers. That gives you an indication of my age, a little bit beyond the 45 years. But I had a morning and evening and weekend paper routes, and got into the habit of getting up early every day before school, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. to deliver papers, the reward of which was collecting the money from my customers and having a steady stream of income, and also the great learning experience in going out and finding new customers, increasing my circulation that benefited myself and the parent newspaper organization. So carry through, I've always found myself working, I guess, multiple jobs. Work to support myself, put myself through college, along with as best my parents could afford to do so. I certainly had to augment and help pay for that effort. After graduation, same thing. Always found myself having a regular day job and a side hustle. Since growing up IT, majority of that in the prior few decades was in as an IT consultant, software developer. And that continues to this day. I mentioned my current passion and indoor farming startup with Excite Farms. There's also a companion company, sister company, called Value Ag. And that company is developing our suite of online services that we'll use to run Excite Farms, drinking our own champagne, so to speak. And we'll be able to monetize the Value Ag software suite of things to serve the ag farm food vertical as well.
Right. So I just want to go back to the thousands of pounds of food you're able to grow every year. So who exactly are you selling this to? Is it individuals, companies, restaurants, things like that? Like, who are you targeting?
Yeah, we started out getting notoriety at the local farmers market. So we grew our base selling to individuals and realizing the increasing demand, and took the next step to reach out to local restaurants. These are primarily independently owned restaurants who understand the trials, tribulations, and the, I guess, the joy of doing your own company, startup of things. We're now also onboarding independent grocers, and we look to grow further with food distributors and large grocer and restaurant chains this year.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you mentioned, like, you started really small with a very defined, like, niche almost. So, like, how important do you think that is if someone's going to start a startup? Just just to like pick out one segment and test and just gain feedback. How has that helped you to get here?
Yeah, it certainly helps you focus. I mean, the challenge is balancing the big, hairy, audacious goals of things with the discipline to do the day-to-day regimen. And I guess narrowing that down from a big goal to really incremental, achievable steps. So as an example, just to give you the top down to the laser focus, the total U.S. produce market is somewhere $66, $70 billion in value.
Wow.
The organic portion of that is probably around $6 billion per year. This is nationwide. The segment we're going after is going back to our FLOW acronym, Fresh Local Organic Healthy, local being that focus. We can't do this nationwide. And because we're fresh, we want to have our products, in a lot of cases, harvested in the morning and on someone's table later that day. And so constricting our market and focus to the ultra local, and going around and soliciting feedback as to what people want has been a real good first couple of steps in doing this. Where now we have the wherewithal, okay, we took our first couple of steps, let's take a few more after that. And ultimately, over the course of this year, be able to hopefully pursue at least the Northeast corridor of the United States. That's a 100 million customer TAM, total addressable market, which equates to about $2 billion of sales. Wow. in the organic produce market, and increasing our customer base and growing from individuals to local grocers and restaurants to food distributors, we have a good path to reach that goal.
Absolutely, and I think you could definitely get there. I think that your product is top-notch. Your customer service is very, very good. So I just want to go through some of the struggles you faced early on. Like, I know that starting up a small business or a startup is definitely challenging, and especially for you with the technical and scientific aspects of yours. So what are some of the challenges you experienced thus far?
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenge is, and it's more of a personal one, I guess. Don't ever think you can do everything yourself, nor do you have to. I think in this day and age, there's something to be said for the networking aspects in building teams. And spot on, my background is IT. And how we grow indoors and incorporating technology, okay, that satisfies the high-tech geek in me, per se. The other aspect of what we do in terms of just agriculture and farming, that's the high-touch aspects, and that's something I'm certainly not expert on. And again, the challenge is to realize what that shortcoming is and then augment and onboard people that have that expertise. So I mentioned our partners in this, 2445 Organics. They're the ag experts. They're the ones that we're working with to fully develop indoor growing, indoor farming, and to make it large scale. Similar on the business side of it, again, picking on myself, I'm IT, and on the business side, I have deficiencies in terms of sales and marketing, and even more focused on the marketing side. I'm nowhere as near a social media expert as compared to like you guys. So bringing folks on board to help in that capacity has made us grow and take our steps and turn them into more leaps as opposed to baby steps in how we're growing. And I would say lastly, there's a whole plethora of some pretty neat robotics and engineering that is certainly not my forte, and having the advantage of some well-known universities, Binghamton University, to be able to get top talent from that institution to help with our development of indoor growing technologies, and even on the ag side with Cornell University being close by and also being able to utilize their ag experts in what we're doing.
Definitely. And you've been able to build like a fantastic team. Like Christian said, they all are super passionate about what you guys are building here. So I'm sure there's people like us, founders, CEOs, startups out there listening to this. Like, so what is some of your advice and some things that you use that they too can implement to find a team that, you know, is passionate about what they're trying to do?
Yeah, I would say the first and foremost, always be experimenting, always be iterating. Don't be afraid to fail. Gosh, I don't know how many fits and starts and challenges we've had to overcome. And along the way, we've been able to engage different folks to reach out to them to help us solve them. So here's a good one in terms of growing indoors. When we set up our pilot farm, we've had to create a microclimate in order for our crops to grow in. And so in doing the iteration and trying to find the optimal growing environment, okay, some crops thrive, others do not. And this is where my learning experience shines through. Thinking where we currently have the control set at, we could grow any crop. And so with our conventional crops of greens and herbs, the thought was, hey, people like spinach, let's grow spinach. And lo and behold, we had a dismal crop. Spinach does not grow in warmer conditions. It likes it on the cool side. And that was a good lesson learned. So and in doing that, you know, it was a good session kibitzing with internally with our folks and then engaging outside experts, and then, you know, kind of the what I call the blinding flash of the obvious, and the ag farm folks said, you know, you can't grow spinach in warm climates.
Yeah, so you definitely learn a lot from iterating.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think failure comes along with the process, because through failure you weed out the things that aren't going to work out, you figure out the things that will work. And while succeeding the first time is obviously the goal, failure is going to be a byproduct of just trying things out and seeing what works, so it's definitely part of the process. I just want to shift into more of the business aspect. Could you just speak on the kind of funding you've received and the efforts you've taken to kind of raise money for your efforts?
Definitely.
And the business so far?
Yeah, so we have an initial round of investors. So we're, I guess you can call us pre-seed stage. God, I love the puns here. So, and I almost called out when you said weed out. So I just did. But anyway.
It just comes naturally.
Yeah. We had, in setting up our pilot farm, we had an initial private investor to get us going to be able to retrofit the space, create the microclimates, and outfit it with the indoor growing technologies. So that was a phase one. Right now we're in the phase two. We've had our second investor invest in us to carry us over through where we are now in our hybrid stage of going from our pilot farm into larger 30,000 square foot facilities for the upcoming year. With both investors, it was definitely the conventional pitch of things to get them to believe and become enthusiastic in what's possible. And simply because, and I refer back to our FLOW acronym, Fresh, Local, Organic, Healthy, we are certainly riding the market wave in what's called locavore, eating healthy, eating organic, and the investors that we approached have that same spirit. And the challenge is finding those others who are like-minded to see the opportunity that we have here. And what we're doing also plays very well into the whole indoor growing market. Just as an example, SoftBank, a Japanese venture capital firm, they invested $200 million, and this was last year, in a hydroponic farm Plenty, I think it was, that's based down near the New York metro area. So having an institution, a brand name like SoftBank, who generally invest in more the IT hardware software startups, diversify and invest and put their money into the future of farming, certainly says a lot. And that's where we're going next with our ask for investors we're going after, and to start to target ag farm food venture capitalists in our next step of things.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's like a trend in the market, like you said, like these big venture capitalists are going after companies that are working on basically, like you were talking about, ag farming and whatnot. So I know we talked a lot off record just about how building a company that you feel good about and feel good about what you're doing is super important. So like, talk a little bit about that and like how you've been able to build that for yourself.
Okay. Yeah. And this is where the, I think the personal connection comes in. So, our startup is again, very high tech, very high touch, but, on the personal motivation side, and, there's definitely some, self-benefit here. And I'll go from large to small. So where we are in the Tiger Ventures High School, we're in their Innovation High School. And what we are providing for the student body there is project-based learning. And so everything we're talking about today, those students there are getting hands-on experience. And when they graduate high school, they'll have the challenge of deciding where, well, do I want to spin a startup off on my own? Or do I want to go to college and learn more and you know, where you guys are actually at in that hybrid phase of things? So maybe inspire them to do both. So that's the, I guess, the one aspect of the personal motivation. The other is I'm a father of five. I have five boys. And I have an 18-year-old who is autistic. It's a lifelong project. Very well understood. Jimmy is his name, and he has a speech of that of a 2-year-old. And that being said, he's a visual learner, and how we have our operations manual set up is it's very picture oriented. So other folks in a like condition as my son would be able to thrive in an environment like this. So he comes with me on the weekends to the farm. He's been able to follow the manual and be able to do indoor farming. And it's a very big content feeling where I know as we progress, he will always have a place to work. So that's our, at least to me, that's my North Star of things.
Yeah, definitely. And then how about on the actual product side of things? Because I know that, too, like, provides such value for who you're serving.
Yeah, and that's huge. How our product is, and how we grow, we only use four ingredients, seed, soil, water, and light. So there are no added chemicals, no fertilizers, no, you know, Roundup, glyphosate, weed killer, you know, herbicide, insecticide, fungicide, nothing. So what we're growing, you can eat directly. Because we're indoors and we control the climate to such a very large degree, we are low to no risk. So we're not at risk to bad weather. We're not at risk to, or as at risk for any crop blight or any sort of recall event. So because of how we grow, we are more advantageous than conventional farms with all the aforementioned chemical augments. We are more efficient than hydroponic farmers. Again, we don't use the chemicals, but there's a large administrative overhead in terms of constantly monitoring crops that grow in water and mixing the chemical bath that the crops have to grow in. And also we're at an advantage in terms of flavor and nutrient density. And the same thing with conventional greenhouse. Conventional greenhouse, very chemically intensive. And our advantage, we think, overall, again, nutrition, taste, but also we have better margins than conventional hydroponic and greenhouse. But overall, the benefit is to our customers. They get healthy foods. They get affordable healthy foods, which is big. If given a choice, any customer will choose it's basic economics. They will choose the path of least resistance, the lower price product, regardless of how good or bad it is, to meet their daily food needs. So we want to give them that added health benefit. People don't necessarily think long term in terms of eating healthy. I'm sure there's been studies done in some way proving, well, if you eat healthy, even though you're spending more up front, you'll have less, big hits with bad medical bills because of poor eating or contaminated eating or whatever. So we want to bring that down so it's affordable for everyone and healthy in the end.
That's amazing. Yeah, and a lot of what you just said sounds really familiar from when we were present for your case presentation. So I just want to go into that aspect a little bit. How is it presenting in front of such distinguished audience and guests and judges?
Yeah, it was fun, exciting, and scary all at once.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure of the portionality of which, I know the audience can't see it. I have both an Apple Watch and a Fitbit on. I always need that second opinion. It also helps because I'm a data junkie. But anyway, it was funny sitting there leading. I was the last one to go. And, just thinking of how neat this event is. And then I look at my watch. I get an alert. It says, elevated heart rate or something. This shouldn't be. You're just sitting watching. getting over that, I don't know if it's a scary factor or a nervous factor, whatever you want to call it. Once you get into the routine, you go with the flow of things. And so, having done this so many times, the having practiced and pitched in the past, the repetition kicked in.
Yep.
And that helps tremendously. So don't ever think, and this, I guess, a good lesson learned, don't ever think you can wing a pitch. Always practice, and if you can, always practice in front of people, because that habit will help tremendously. And like I mentioned, it kicked in to get over that and hopefully have a pretty decent session with whatever pitch event people are at.
Yeah, I think you really crushed the judges' questions. Like, they would ask some things that they're like, oh, we're going to get them this time with this one, but you just got right over and gave them a pretty solid answer. So I was proud of you for that.
Yeah, thank you. That was it's all matter of fact. And I think the food culture that we have, people are very used to conventional farming and think that you can't grow unless you put all these chemicals in. You won't be able to, get things to sprout or whatever, but nature's been doing it for a few hundred million years. And again, all we do is seed, soil, water, light. That's it.
Yeah, and I know that's actually a good segue into the next topic. Like, obviously, conventional farming is a huge market. Like, outside farming has just been the way it's always been done, really. So, like, do you have any plans to go into that market as well with some outside products that might not just be an inside farm?
Yeah. And what we'll be able to do in our larger expansion sites, we'll be able to offer a diversity of crops. So right now, our mainstay, leafy greens, herbs, and shoots. When we get into our larger space, we'll be able to grow and compete against more conventional farms with tomatoes, cucumbers, strawberries, varieties of eggplant, squash, and some shallow root varieties of carrots and onions and the like. And again, we grow, referring back to our pilot farm and the amount that we grow per year, from seed to first harvest is 30 days. And depending on the crop, we get a weekly harvest thereafter. So we grow very quickly, very prolifically, and in in such large volume that we'll be able to compete with conventional farms. I guess a factoid to throw out there. I think 95% of leafy green produce in the off season comes from either California or Arizona.
Wow.
So what we'll be able to do, okay, don't bring these in from out of state, so we can eliminate that long haul distribution cost right off the top and be able to compete with the large conventional farms by being able to produce and source things locally.
Definitely.
Yep.
And there's just like so many different ways that you guys could like attack these markets and so many different things that you do. So like going back to like small scale, like on a micro basis, like a day to day, like what does a day in your life look like in terms of repetition and what you work on?
Okay. In relation to the startup,
I'm
guessing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, gosh, a day in the life could be really anything. But I guess to give you an idea on the farm end of it, being able to work with my team, we're always refining our processes and procedures. And as part of doing a startup, we're very diligent in the data points we collect. So I'm pretty much the taskmaster to make sure folks collect the data that we need in terms of measuring our crop harvest, being able to compete and price competitively, looking at our packaging. And that's not to say I'm doing this all myself. Again, I have a very good team that I work with. Other aspects that are more on the networking side is making connections. Since I have such a good team to help take care of the day-to-day, that gives me the opportunity to do constant outreach, to work with like you two and other good folks in a very team-building, community-building aspect of it. Because of what we do in indoor farming and where we are doing it, we found that we can accomplish more together than as individual disparate teams. So, for example, we're growing in a K-12 school. We're going to stay there simply because students going through that regimen that and helping us with our farm there on both the ag and the business side, we have a readily trained workforce that we can hire. And so looking at, well, what else can we do in terms of outreach? So my day-to-day is trying to connect other disparate community points of interest. And the analogy, it's kind of like the old style barn raising, where the community would come together to construct a farm for a particular family's benefit and then repeat that for the entire community. So that's how we see ourselves, and that gives me the bandwidth to be able to do that, and that's been the majority of my time as of late. So being able to do that community building while also soliciting fund investors for our startup.
That's awesome. So I just have one last question. I just want to talk long term here for a minute. So where do you see the company in five years?
Okay. Well, 3 to 5 years going out, what we'll definitely prove out is our large scale production model to be able to grow in really anywhere, indoors, year round, for the benefit of local and also regional, like I mentioned before. We have a very scalable business model where we can grow to individual requests and come up with food subscription revenue models that scale very nicely to independent restaurants and grocers, to large scale grocery chains and food distributors. So as part of a 5-year plan, I think we'll have the luxury of either going IPO or be a very interesting acquisition for the likes of, say, Amazon with Amazon Fresh, any large grocery or restaurant chain, Walmart even, who is competing head-to-head with Walmart, or even some other startup, for lack of a better phrase. The example that comes to mind is Uber Eats. There could be another competing ride-sharing company that wants to get into the food side of things, and maybe some sort of partnership, joint venture could be gotten from that.
Yeah. So, like, what are some things you do on a day-to-day basis now to kind of, like, prepare for that? Because there's obviously certain things you got to do to, like, prepare for being bought out or add value to, or make it, like, a better offer almost.
Yeah. Well, for this year, our goal is to certainly set up our large-scale production farms. Thereafter, this region of upstate New York will be the hub of how we grow indoors and will be the showcase. And so we're working towards having that goal achieved for where we are here in upstate New York in the Binghamton area. So that's our immediate goal in order to meet that 3 to 5 year plan.
That's awesome. And I just want to, I have one last question as well. We're sitting here in your office at the Southern Tier Incubator. You've been here for how long now?
2 years, 3 years maybe.
3 years. Yeah, that's awesome. So I just wanted to ask you, like, how your experience has been at this place and how it's helped you to get where you are now.
Oh, being in the incubator is by far a great, probably one of the greatest implicit learning environments to be in. We're one of several a few dozen startups here in the Binghamton Kaufman Incubator. And the feedback coming from my folks that I have here, being able to talk to the other startups and get that collision of ideas has been wonderful. And the other startups that we're involved with are in the clean energy industry. That is certainly beneficial to us. So we grow organically, and we grow in very environmentally sound, ecologically sound, self-sustaining ways. We also, because we grow indoors, we're very energy intensive, so we want to lower that carbon footprint. And there are a good many energy-related companies we've been introduced here at the incubator to follow up with to help us achieve our energy goals, our energy savings goals. So again, it's been a wonderful environment. Gosh, should be required for any college or university.
Yeah, to have their own, right?
Yeah.
That would be nice. Okay, so that's it for questions. Unless Christian has anything else. Good. So for this isn't going to be our last time covering you, whether it be an interview. We're going to do some, like, inside footage of your facilities that you mentioned throughout the interview. For people that are listening, where could they kind of follow you in your journey or just learn more about your company?
Okay. Well, we're online, Egzeit.com, AGZEIT.com. We're very prolific in our social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, just to name the biggies. And certainly follow us and come along for the ride.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the time, Jim.
So thank you, guys. Appreciate it. This was fun.
Sweet.
This one.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.